The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Today on the show, we are talking about the word saved and the word salvation. Did you know that those words are used to mean different things throughout the Bible? And in our current series, Different Meanings of Saved, we are exploring five different New Testament books that use these words in different ways. I think you'll find it quite interesting. So Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to discuss this important truth. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're going through a series on salvation in five different books of the New Testament based on an article Bob is going to be publishing in the autumn 2021 Journal of the Grace Evangelical Society. You can go to our website, faithalone.org, and you can subscribe to the journal. I think if you're a new subscriber, you can get it for under 10 bucks, and that includes shipping for two issues. Basically, you're getting two books of free grace material, Bible studies, you know, that are a little bit deeper than what you'd find in our magazine or our blogs. If you like theology, if you're a pastor, if you can get a subscription for your pastor, or if you have a son or daughter in Bible college or seminary, you can get them a subscription. I think they'd find it very helpful.
Yep.
Well, we are in near the end of the book of Philippians. We've discussed there were three uses of salvation in Philippians. We've discussed the first two, and now we're going to discuss the last one, which is really the most famous one. And so can you just summarize what we've said so far?
Well, what we said is the word soteria is found three times in Philippians. The first one is Philippians 1:19, where even though he's in prison in Rome and he's going through these persecutions for his faith, he knows it's going to work out for his soteria, his salvation, his deliverance. We saw that refers to him being vindicated ultimately at the judgment seat of Christ. Of course, he'll be vindicated before men in the sense that believers will see that Paul magnified Christ through his imprisonment and that Christ was glorified. Now, in Philippians 1:28, we saw the same thing, that the Philippians are being persecuted by their adversaries and that their adversaries' persecution of them will be shown to actually result in their destruction and the soteria of the Philippians if the Philippians continue to magnify Christ through persecution they receive from their adversaries. The destruction that the adversaries would receive would refer to judgment in this life as well as in the life to come, because both believers and unbelievers will be judged for our works after this life to determine degrees of reward or degrees of torment for the unbeliever. And also, for the Philippians, it will result in their vindication at the judgment seat of Christ if they continue. And that's where we're going in the third use, Philippians 2:12, that they would continue in this.
So Philippians 2:12 says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, I hear this quoted all the time. What do people normally mean by that?
A lot of people use the idea that he doesn't say work for your salvation, but work out your salvation. And they say it's kind of like lifting weights is working out. It doesn't mean you're working for the weights, you're working out with the weights or something like that. That's kind of lame in my opinion, because he is using the term for working. It's ergazomai with the kata prefix. So working for is probably an adequate translation, working to achieve this result. And so I think that's a poor way to do it. Now, some people come right out and say, people who believe in work salvation from eternal condemnation, that is, they will say, Paul's straight up saying, well, if you don't keep on working, you're going to lose everlasting life.
Right.
That's right. The Arminian understanding of this verse.
Right. The way I've heard it quoted most often probably is as a sanctification verse. Like, you have this salvation that you receive, now you got to work it out. You got to see how it grows in your life.
Right.
See how it, what application it has to your life.
Right.
Something like that.
And that's wrong, but that is a common way to do it.
Well, what do the commentators say?
Well, Robert Leitner says, quote, "It is commonly understood that this exhortation relates to the personal salvation of the saints at Philippi. They were to work out, to put into practice in their daily living what God had worked in them by the Spirit. They were not told to work for their salvation, but to work out the salvation that God had already given them."
All right, that's definitely what I most often hear.
Right, and although common, I don't think that is as helpful. Now, Fee does see a connection with 128 when he writes in his commentary, quote, "This is not a soteriological text per se," soteriological meaning eternal condemnation text, "dealing with people getting saved or saved people persevering. Rather, it is an ethical text dealing with how saved people live out their salvation in the context of the believing community and the world. What Paul is referring to, therefore, is the present outworking of their eschatological salvation within the believing community in Philippi."
Right.
Well, again, it's kind of like what you're saying. It's a sanctification verse. Now, I do see it as a sanctification verse, but I wouldn't understand soteria as eschatological salvation.
Because in the last two verses, you've argued that it means vindication.
Right. And I think it means that here as well. Now, O'Brien says, quote, "Soteria is being used in a sociological rather than a strictly theological sense to describe the spiritual health and well-being of the entire community at Philippi. Paul is therefore urging all the Christians corporately to take whatever steps are necessary to remove every trace of spiritual disease and thus to restore the congregation to health and wholeness." It seems to me all of those are kind of on the right track, but because of the way they're seeing the word soteria, they're a little bit less clear than they could be.
All right.
And so what I would suggest is when Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now more in my absence," while he's in prison in Rome,
yeah,
"work out your own soteria, your own salvation with fear and trembling." Well, why fear and trembling? Well, it seems to me the fear and trembling is because we are going to be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ when this life is over. And the Philippians knew this. In fact, all through Philippians, Paul talks about the day of Christ, the day of Jesus Christ. And all of that is a reference to the judgment seat of Christ. Mm. And so the fear and trembling is the fact that they're going to appear before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, and they're going to give an account of their life.
Right.
If they have caved in to persecution and denied the faith or stopped glorifying and magnifying Christ, then they're going to suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ, and they're not going to be vindicated. So to experience that well done, good and faithful servant that Jesus talked about in his parables, we need to be people who persevere in hanging in there. Notice the verses that follow that sometimes we don't pick up on. Paul says, "For it is God who is at work in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Well, it seems to me that God is moving us to be vindicated. But notice he goes on to say, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." So it's possible for a believer to complain about the persecution and even resulting in disputing, either disputing with fellow believers or disputing with the adversaries.
Right.
And then he says, notice, "that you may become blameless and harmless." Those are judgment seat of Christ words in Paul's writings. "Children of God without fault." That's another judgment seat of Christ term within Paul. "In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation." So in other words, they're going to stand out. In fact, that's what Paul goes on to say. It's kind of like a light shining in darkness. He says, "among whom you shine as lights in the world." Well, didn't Jesus say to let your light shine before men?
Right.
And then they would glorify God as a result of your light shining?
Right.
He then says, "holding fast the word of life," that is the message of eternal life or the promise of eternal life, "and they're holding fast to it, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ." The day of Christ is the judgment seat of Christ. So that at the judgment seat of Christ, Paul could rejoice because he's going to see the Philippians vindicated and rewarded because that was part of his ministry. That's going to bring more joy to him. And then he says, holding fast the word of Christ so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. You right. see, if Paul worked with the Philippians and they caved, they stopped shining as lights in this world.
Right.
Well, then Paul would have run in vain. And what he wants is an effective ministry. So if you take all the way from 12 through 16, working out your salvation is a sanctification issue, but relates to the judgment seat of Christ.
So they have the word of life. They've been born again.
Right.
And they need to hold on to that.
Exactly.
They're working that out, but he wants them to be lights now because of the day of Christ that's coming.
Exactly. So that they would be vindicated and he would not have run in vain. And when he says, work out your own soteria, your own soteria is clearly looking back to Paul's soteria in 119. And the way Paul would gain this vindication is by him continuing to magnify Christ. That's what he said in the context of Philippians 1:19.
Right.
Here, same thing. How do they have this soteria? How do they work it out with fear and trembling? By shining as lights in the darkness. And the way they continue to do that is by holding fast the word of life. You see the same basic thing in 1 Corinthians 15:2.
O'Brien said that this was about spiritual health and the well-being of the community and removing spiritual disease to go towards health and wholeness.
I agree with all that. I just think we don't need to see the soteria as an eschatological salvation from eternal condemnation.
Right.
Instead, it's an eschatological salvation at the judgment seat of Christ. That's an eschatological vindication.
Right. So is it vindication or is it spiritual health or are those the same thing?
I think those are the same thing. If I'm spiritually healthy now, I'm going to be vindicated then. And I'll be spiritually healthy then.
Well, that's one book down, 4 books to go.
I'm tired now.
We're going to be here all month.
As we say in Texas, I'm tarred.
Are you from Texas?
No. Well, kind of. I've lived here for 42 years.
That's pretty long.
So, tarred.
We'll see you guys next time.
All right. Peace out.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow in the program, we're going to explore what James has to say about the word saved and the word salvation. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.